Greetings to all my Israelite brothers and sisters. Divine influence be with you. This is part 4 of all the verses on grace and mercy. You can follow along with the article by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Grace and mercy is found in the Word Studies menu. In part 3, we finished the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, which are the words of the days. We saw, up to this point, grace is acceptance and favor, which is shown to those who have trusted in Yahweh and are favored because of their obedience and righteousness. Those who have not repented and changed their ways were not favored or shown grace. Mercy is Yahweh's loving commitment and compassion towards His people who do right in His eyes. Mercy is something we receive instead of the punishment which we deserve. But it comes only after repentance and obedience. Mercy is related to the promise made to Abraham's children. Let's continue with Ezra. When the Babylonian Empire fell to the Medo-Persians, Koresh, or Cyrus, was king of Persia. It is evident that Koresh was an Adamite, likely a Shemite, and possibly an Israelite, hence anointed. Koresh was a Yahweh worshiper. Isaiah 44:28 and 45:1 record Yahweh speaking of Koresh as his shepherd, his anointed, raised in righteousness, and that he shall order the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the freeing of the captives. Zerubbabel was the reigning Judahite and was the grandson of Jehoiachin, a descendant of David and in the direct line of the ancestry of Yeshua. It was Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, and Ezra that led the return and the rebuilding. Ezra 3:10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Yahweh, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Yahweh after the ordinance of David king of Israel. And they sang together by course, in praising and giving thanks unto Yahweh, because He is good, for His mercy, or loving commitment, endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid. In Tobit 14:5, we read, "And that again Elohim will have mercy, or loving commitment, on them, and bring them again into the land, where they shall build a temple, but not like to the first, until the time of that age be fulfilled. And afterward they shall return from all places of their captivity, and build up Jerusalem gloriously, and the house of Elohim shall be built in it forever, with a glorious building, as the prophets have spoken thereof." The last clause is referring to the new Jerusalem, the house of Elohim forever, which is His people, and the reign of the heavens here on earth. Tobit 14:6, "And all nations shall turn and fear Yahweh Elohim truly, and shall bury their idols. So shall all nations praise Yahweh, and His people shall confess Elohim, and Yahweh shall exalt His people, and all those which love Yahweh Elohim in truth and justice shall rejoice, showing mercy to our brethren." In chapter 7, verses 11 through 26 is a record of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra of the words of the commandments of Yahweh and of His statutes to Israel. It is also evident that Artaxerxes was also an Adamite. The letter included the blessings of the king and anything needed of his treasures, that the priests used the money to buy meat, grain, and drink offerings and offer them to Yahweh, to rule and judge the people by the wisdom and commands of Yahweh, to teach Yahweh's laws, and to execute judgment on those who do not the law of Yahweh. Ezra 7:27. Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of Yahweh which is in Yerushalayim, and has extended mercy, or loving commitment, unto me before the king, and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened, as the hand of Yahweh my Elohim was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Artaxerxes was a righteous man, a righteous king. The book of Ezra is clear about Yahweh's laws against race mixing. Idolatry and race mixing was the major crime of ancient Israel, as is our people today as well. Even after the punishment and captivity for this very thing, and being shown favor by their return to Jerusalem, the people and the priests were still race mixing, and it drove Ezra crazy. He even pulled out his beard because of it. Ezra 9:5. And at the evening grain offering, I arose up from my fasting, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto Yahweh, my Elohim, and said, O my Elohim, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to you, my Elohim. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up to the skies. White people are known to blush. The definition of Adam includes the verb to blush. Have you ever seen a Jew blush? Verse 7. Since the days of our forefathers have we been in a great guilt unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. The phrase confusion of face, in the context, which is the abomination of race mixing, is when one race mixes, the offspring has not the familiar face, hence mixed, polluted, a broken cistern. Verse 8, and now for a little space, grace, or favor, has been showed from Yahweh our Elohim, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our Elohim may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. A nail in his holy place refers to a leader who will bring stability to his people. Verse 9. For we were bondmen, yet our Elohim has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy, or loving commitment, unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our Elohim, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. The Septuagint has, and now our Elohim has dealt mercifully with us. Grace is not a free ride. Israel seems to fall in and out of grace often. Verse 8 not only says, for a little space, but also, lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Grace comes with doing our part to receive it. He is not going to show favor to a habitual sinner or one that sins in ignorance. In Ezra, Yahweh keeps his promises. He shows his mercy and loving commitment to Israel. By his grace, he preserved his lovingly committed ones in their captivity. Nehemiah received word that the few remaining Judahites that were left of the captivity were in great affliction, and the wall of Jerusalem and gates were broken down. Nehemiah 1:4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before Elohim of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Yahweh Elohim of heaven, the great and revered Elohim, that keeps covenant and mercy, or loving commitment, for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive, and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, night and day, for the children of Israel your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. The promises made to Abraham, the covenant, and mercy are all connected, and is loving commitment of Yahweh that is accessed by them that love him and observe his commandments. Isn't that what John 14:15 says? Yep. Verse 11. O Yahweh, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants, who desire to revere your name. And prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy, or compassion, in the sight of this man, speaking of King Artaxerxes, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was in Persia, and was praying that Yahweh hears his prayers for his people. Nehemiah 2, verse 5. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor, or is pleasing, or accepted in your sight, that you would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. This word comes from Yatab, H 3190, meaning pleasing, favor, kindness, or acceptance. As we saw in Ezra, both King Koresh and King Artaxerxes were righteous men and supported the remnant that returned to rebuild. In the 24th day of the month of Ethanim, a couple days after the Feast of Tabernacles, the Israelites were confessing their sins, reading the Torah, and worshiping Yahweh. Some of the Levites stood up and blessed Yahweh and praised his works. They acknowledged that he did choose Abraham, who he made a covenant with him and his seed after him, and kept his word. He has repeatedly shown his loving commitment to the children of Jacob. Nehemiah 9:16. But they and our forefathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to your commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But you are an Elohim, ready to pardon, gracious, and merciful, or compassionate, slow to anger, and of great kindness, or loving commitment, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is your God, that brought you up out of Egypt, and had wrought great blasphemy, yet you in your manifold mercies, or deep compassions, forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day, to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night, to show them light, and the way wherein they should go. Nevertheless, they were disobedient, and rebelled against you, and cast your law behind their backs, and slew your prophets which testified against them, to turn them to you. And they wrought great blasphemies. Therefore you delivered them into the hand of their hated enemies, who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto you, you heard them from the heaven, and according to your manifold mercies, or deep compassions, you gave them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, leftest you them in the hand of their hated enemies, referring to Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto you, you heard them from heaven, and many times did you deliver them according to your mercies, or deep compassions, and testified against them, that you might bring them again unto your law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not to your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which, if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years did you forbear them, and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gave you them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for your great mercies, or deep compassions' sake, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful, or compassionate, God. Now therefore, our Elohim, the great, the mighty, and the revered Elohim, who keeps covenant and mercy, or loving commitment, let not all the trouble seem little for you that has come upon us, on our kings, on our officers, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and our forefathers, and on all your people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, you are just in all that is brought upon us, for you have done right, but we have done wickedly. The unrighteous Israelites got what they deserved. Many of them did not receive grace or mercy. The lovingly committed ones, the true saints and righteous Israelites, were preserved by favor because of the covenant with Abraham and the mercy, or loving commitment, of Yahweh for his children. Nehemiah 13:19. And it came to pass, that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants I set at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. The new day began at 6 p.m., sundown. Hence, began to be dark before the Sabbath. Verse 20. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of merchandise lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them, and said unto them, Why lodge you about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Jerusalem was along a trade route. The merchants, usually sheeny, vagabond Jews, would try to sell on the Shabbat. When that was stopped by Nehemiah, they would camp outside the city, and this became a distraction for the Shabbat. So Nehemiah told them to scram, or else. Verse 22, And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates, to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this also, and spare, or pardon me according to the greatness of your mercy, or loving commitment. 2 Esdras 15:22. My right hand will not spare the sinners, and my sword will not cease from those who shed innocent blood on the earth. And a fire will go forth from his wrath, and will consume the foundations of the earth, and the sinners, like straw that is kindled. Woe to those who sin and do not observe my commandments, says Yahweh. I will not spare them. Depart, you faithless children. Do not pollute my sanctuary. Tobit was a righteous Israelite of the tribe of Naphtali during the time of Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. He went to Jerusalem for the feasts and offered a tenth of the increase of the firstfruits. Tobit 1:9. Furthermore, when I was come to the age of a man, I married Anna of my own kindred, and of her I begat Tobias. And when we were carried away captives to Nineveh, all my brethren and those that were of my kindred did eat of the food of the nations, but I kept myself from eating unclean animals and pork, because I remembered Elohim with all my heart, and the Most High gave me grace, or favor, and favor, or delight, or pleasure, before Shalmaneser, so that I was his buyer of provisions. Continue to obey Yahweh's laws, even in captivity, and be rewarded and favored, as was Joseph, and Daniel, and Nehemiah. Tobit 3, verse 2. O Yahweh, you are righteous, and all your works and all your ways are mercy, or loving commitment, and truth, and you judge truly and justly forever. Tobias was to be wed to a woman which a demon protected. This demon killed 7 previous husbands to be. Tobias was also a righteous man, and Yahweh sent Raphael, his messenger, to bind the demon when Tobias followed certain instructions. It worked. Tobit 8:4. And after that they were both shut in together, Tobias rose out of the bed and said, Sister, arise, and let us pray that Elohim would have pity, or compassion, on us. Then began Tobias to say, Blessed are you, O Elohim of our forefathers, and blessed is your holy and glorious name forever. Let the skies bless you, and all your creations. They consummated the marriage, but the family feared they both may have been dead. When they sent one of the maids in, she found them both asleep and told it to the woman's father, and he said, verse 16, speaking to Yahweh, You are to be praised, for you have made me joyful, and that is not come to me which I suspected, but you have dealt with us according to your great mercy, or deep compassion. You are to be praised because you have had mercy, or compassion, on two that were the only begotten children of their fathers. Grant them mercy, or favor, O Yahweh, and finish their life in health with joy and with mercy, or favor. Raphael had more instructions for Tobias to follow in order for his father to see again, and it again worked. Tobit 11:16. Then Tobit went out to meet his daughter-in-law at the gate of Nineveh, rejoicing and praising Elohim. And they which saw him go marveled, walking along in full vigor and with no one leading him, because he has received his sight. But Tobias gave thanks before them, because Elohim had mercy, or compassion, on him, and had restored his sight. And when he came near to Sarah, his daughter-in-law, he blessed her, saying, Come in now to your home, and welcome, with blessings and joy. You are welcome, daughter. Elohim be blessed, which has brought you unto us, and blessed be your father and your mother. And there was joy among all his brethren which were at Nineveh. Tobit 12:6. Then Raphael took them both apart and said unto them, Bless Elohim, praise him, and magnify him, and praise him for the things which he has done unto you in the sight of all that live. It is good to praise Elohim and exalt his name, and honorably to show forth the works of Elohim. Therefore, be not slack to praise him. It is good to keep close the secret of a king, but it is honorable to reveal the works of Elohim. Do that which is good, and no evil shall touch you. Prayer is good with fasting and alms and righteousness. A little with righteousness is better than much with unrighteousness. It is better to give alms than to lay up gold, for alms does deliver from death and shall purge away all sin. Those that exercise alms and righteousness shall be filled with life, but they that sin are enemies to their own life. Surely I will conceal nothing from you, for I said, it was good to keep close the secret of a king, but that it was honorable to reveal the works of Elohim. Now therefore, when you did pray, and Sarah your daughter-in-law, I did bring the remembrance of your prayers before the Holy One. And when you did bury the dead, I was with you likewise. And when you did not delay to rise up and leave your dinner to go and cover the dead, your good deed was not hid from me, but I was with you. And now Elohim has sent me to heal you and Sarah your daughter-in-law. I am Raphael, one of the seven holy messengers which present the prayers of the saints, and which go in and out before the glory of the set-apart one. Then they were both troubled, and fell upon their faces, for they feared. But he said unto them, Fear not, for it shall go well with you. Praise Elohim, therefore, for not of any favor or grace of mine, but by the will of our Elohim I came. Wherefore, praise him forever. Tobit 13:1. Then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing and said, Blessed be Elohim that lives forever, and blessed be his reign. For he does scourge, and has mercy, or compassion. He leadeth down to the grave, the land of the dead, and bringeth up again. Neither is there any that can avoid his hand. And he will scourge us for our iniquities, and will have mercy, or compassion again, and will gather us out of all the nations among whom he has scattered us. If you turn to him with your whole heart and with your whole mind, and deal uprightly before him, then he will turn unto you, and will not hide his face from you. Therefore, see what he will do with you, and confess him with your whole mouth, and praise Yahweh of might, and extol the everlasting King. In the land of my captivity do I praise him, and declare his might and majesty to a sinful nation. O you sinners, turn and do justice before him. Who can tell if he will accept you, and have mercy, or compassion on you? O Jerusalem, the holy city, he will scourge you for your children's works, and will have mercy, or compassion again on the sons of the righteous. The time of Judith was during the Assyrian Empire, and the army had exhausted the water supply. The people gave in and wanted to surrender. Judith 7:30. Then said Ozias to them, Brethren, be of good courage. Let us yet endure 5 days, in the which space Yahweh our Elohim may turn his mercy, or compassion, towards us, for he will not forsake us utterly. And if these days pass, and there come no help unto us, I will do according to your word. Now when she heard the evil words of the people against the governor, that they fainted for lack of water, for Judith has heard all the words that Ozias had spoken unto them, and that he had sworn to deliver the city unto the Assyrians after 5 days. Then she sent her waiting woman, that had the government of all things that she had, to call Ozias and Chabris and Carmis, the elders of the city. And they came unto her, and she said unto them, Hear me now, O you governors of the inhabitants of Bethulia. For your words that you have spoken before the people this day are not right, touching this oath which you have made and pronounced between Elohim and you, and have promised to deliver the city to our enemies, unless within these days Yahweh turn to help you. And now, who are you that have tempted Elohim this day, and stand instead of Elohim among the children of men? And now try Yahweh Almighty, but you shall never learn anything. Do not bind the counsels of Yahweh our Elohim, for Elohim is not as man, that he may be threatened, neither is he as the son of Adam, that he should be wavering. Therefore, let us wait for deliverance of him, and call upon him to help us, and he will hear our voice, if it please him. Now therefore, O brethren, let us show an example to our brethren, because their hearts depend upon us, and the sanctuary, and the house, and the altar rest upon us. In spite of everything, let us give thanks to Yahweh our Elohim, which tries us, even as he did our fathers. Then Ozias said to her, All that you have you spoken with a true heart, and there is none that may deny your words. For this is not the first day wherein your wisdom is manifested, but from the beginning of your days all the people have known your understanding, because the disposition of your heart is right. But the people were very thirsty, and compelled us to do unto them as we have spoken, and to bring an oath upon ourselves, which we will not break. Therefore, now pray you for us, because you are a godly woman, and Yahweh will send us rain to fill our cisterns, and we shall faint no more from thirst. Then said Judith unto them, Hear me, and I will do a thing, which shall go throughout all generations to the children of our nation. Chapter 9 is Judith's prayer to Yahweh. Judith had a plan. Judith, chapter 10, verse 8, the Elohim of our fathers, give you favor and accomplish your enterprises to the glory of the children of Israel and to the exaltation of Jerusalem. Then they worshipped Elohim. Judith was an Israelite woman that walked in the way and performed a very courageous act to preserve and deliver her people from the Assyrian siege. You will have to read this short book of Judith to find out what happened. Chapter 13, verse 14. Then she said to them with a loud voice, Praise, praise Elohim! Praise Elohim, I say, for he has not taken away his mercy, or loving commitment, from the house of Israel, but has destroyed our enemies by my hands this night. In the books of Tobit and Judith, we see that grace and mercy are shown to righteous Israelites that follow and obey Yahweh. Esther 2:8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the woman. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness, or loving commitment of him. And he speedily gave her her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor, or grace, or acceptance, in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Artaxerxes into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace, or favor, or acceptance, and favor, or loving commitment, in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head, and made her queen instead of Vashti. Esther has not yet made known her relatives and kindred. Esther was Mordecai's uncle's daughter. They were Israelites of the tribe of Judah. They were Judahites. Mordecai had saved the king's life by revealing a plot against him. Haman was a descendant of Agag of the Amalekites, a Canaanite Jew. The king had promoted this crafty Jew Haman and commanded all the king's servants to bow to Haman. Mordecai did not. Being an Israelite, Mordecai refused to bow to a Canaanite Jew, and Haman despised him for it. Haman devised a plan to holocaust the Judahites. Verse 8. And Haman said unto King Artaxerxes, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to let them remain. These certain dispersed people were Israelites. When the Assyrians rose to power, they were part of Yahweh's punishment upon disobedient Israel. The Israelites were taken captive and relocated throughout the coastlands. These certain people are some of the scattered, lost sheep, kindred of Mordecai. Haman, a Jew, was hell-bent on genociding the white race then, just as Haman's Jewish kindred today are hell-bent on genociding our race today. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the letters were sent by runners into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Judahites, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Haman, the Agagite Jew, ordered the killing of Israelites, the Judahites. The Jews have done this throughout history, bribing authorities and agitating for the murder of our people. When Mordecai perceived what was done, he told the king's chamberlain. Chapter 4, verse 8. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication to, or entreat for favor of him, and to make request before him for her people. Interesting, the Septuagint has more than the King James perversion in this verse. The Septuagint 4, verse 8. And he gave him the copy of the writing that was published at Shushan concerning their destruction, to show to Esther, and told him to charge her to go in and entreat the king, and to beg him for the people, remembering, said he, the days of how your low estate, how you were nursed by my hand, because Haman, who holds the next place to the king, has spoken against us for death. Call you upon Yahweh, and speak to the king concerning us, to deliver us from death. The following verses, Esther commands Mordecai to gather the Judahites in Shushan and fast, which is part of supplication for Yahweh to show favor. Mordecai also besought and prayed to Yahweh, glorifying and calling upon him, as did Esther in her quarters. Chapter 5, verse 2. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor, or grace, or acceptance, in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. If I have found favor, or grace, or acceptance, in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Haman's Jewish head swelled and boasted to his friends and family of his promotions and advancements. His Sheeny wife said to make gallows 50 cubits high to hang Mordecai on. Haman thought he was going to be honored and recommended to the king, not knowing that the banquet was to honor Mordecai. The king then ordered Haman to do as he had said, and he covered his head in mourning. When Haman was brought to the feast, chapter 7, verse 3, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I had found favor, or grace or acceptance, in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Artaxerxes answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Haman was hung on the gallows made for Mordecai. Chapter 8, verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought, or sought favor of him, with tears, to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Judahites. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, if it please the king, and I have found favor, or grace, or acceptance, in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite Jew, which he wrote to destroy the Judahites, which were in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? In Esther, we see grace being used as favor, acceptance, seeking favor. Esther demonstrates the mode of operation of the Jew and how they quickly rise to positions of authority. They blur the lines of the facts, agitate and instigate, and enact and enforce crazy laws, and plain try to genocide our race while they play the victim. Job is being tried. He doesn't know that Satan is orchestrating the events and is kind of blaming Yahweh for it. Job has some dross that he doesn't know is there, but Yahweh does. Job is wondering why Yahweh doesn't just judge him, or even kill him, which is what he wants at this point. Job, chapter 6, verse 8. Oh, that I might have my request, and that Elohim would grant me the thing that I long for. Referring to Job wanting to just die. Verse 9. That is that Elohim would please destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort, yea, I would rejoice in pain, though not spared, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. Verse 14. To him that is afflicted pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. The Septuagint reads, Mercy has rejected me, and the visitation of Yahweh has disregarded me. The Geneva reads, He that is in misery ought to be comforted of his neighbor, but men have forsaken the fear of the Almighty. The Scriptures reads, To him who is afflicted, loving commitment, even the one leaving the fear of the Almighty. H 2617, Chesed, is usually translated as mercy or kindness. The more accurate meaning, as is being demonstrated in this study thus far, is loving commitment. Job 8, verse 5. Bildad speaking, If you would seek unto Elohim betimes, and make your supplication, or plead for mercy, to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you, and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. Job 9:13. If Elohim will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him, and choose out my words to reason with him, whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication, or entreat, to my judge. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not be sure that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaks me with a tempest, and multiplies my wounds without a cause. Job is partially right that it is done without a cause, but not really. He is being tried by fire to remove the dross he did not know was there. But Yahweh knew it was there. Verse 18, But he will not suffer me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. Job is blaming Yahweh for what the devil has done to him. Job is asking for judgment and still does not know why he is being tried. He reminds Yahweh of how righteous he is and is questioning why he is in this misery and not being judged. Job 10:12. You have granted me life and favor, or loving commitment, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. Job is implying that Yahweh is his enemy. Job 16:13. His archers compass me about. He splits my kidneys in two, and does not spare, or pity. He pours out my bile upon the ground. Job 19:16. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated, or begged, him with my mouth. My breath, or spirit, is strange to my wife, though I entreated, or earnestly entreated the sons of my concubines, for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon, or be gracious to me. Have pity upon, or be gracious to me, O you my friends, for the hand of Elohim has touched me. Not the hand of Yahweh, but the hand of Satan. Job 33:23. Elihu speaking, If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious, or merciful unto him, and says, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a reconciliation, or atonement. The spiritual sacrifice of obedience, which shows a man's uprightness. Verse 25, His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto Elohim, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness, or their due. Job 37:10, Elihu speaking, by the breath of Elohim frost is given, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his lightning cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the land. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy, or loving commitment. In Job, we see entreat and even begging for mercy, or for judgment. Job is a special example in which Yahweh allowed Satan to try him. Yahweh was also testing Satan, giving him the opportunity to show mercy to Job, but he did not. Job was begging Yahweh to be judged and even killed. Job also thought he was more righteous than he really was, which was also why Yahweh tried him. We all have a little dross. Even though Job blamed Yahweh for what was happening to him, he never cursed Yahweh. We will stop here and continue in part 5 with the Psalms. May these studies edify you and increase your understanding of the deeper meanings of these words, which have been lost and glossed over by the generalization of the English words and bad translations, which, by design, are meant to keep our people in the dark. Praise Yahweh, you house of Jacob, and may you honor the divine gratuity bestowed upon you by living as a lovingly committed one.